Welcome to Beach Books and Beyond with me, Monique Chambers. Each week, I invite a different guest from a different walk of life to talk to me about books that they've read, which have influenced them, and books they suggest we take to the beach this summer. You've no excuse not to be well read. Welcome to this week's edition of Beach Books and Beyond with me, Monique Chambers, and this week's guest is Clara Ketkuti. That's quite difficult to say.
It is, and it's difficult to spell as well.
Clara Ketkuti. I'm going to tell you offline. No, I'm going to tell you here. It reminds me a bit of those clafouti. I don't know if you've had it. It's a really beautiful dessert.
Really?
It's lovely.
Is it Greek?
No, it's like a sponge with peaches in it. It's absolutely delicious. But Clara Ketkuti. Now, whenever I think of you, I'm going to think
no
of...
No problem, I'll think of peaches.
Thank you. Anyway, so we've been having a nice natter. But you've been telling me the mornings you teach English.
Yes, I do. I teach English.
And in
English
the afternoons...
Yes.
PhD students.
Yes, for my sins.
And what's your PhD in?
It's about contemporary literature, mm-hmm. and especially with a focus on electronic literature. So
okay.
It's anything that you can read that's not in print. So basically anything you can read online,
mm-hmm.
and it's generally animated text, or there's like a game element to it.
Okay.
It's fun.
And you're doing a PhD in that. How many years is that going to take you?
I've been told 3, but I've also been told 4, so...
And how far into it are you?
No, I'm at the very beginning.
Very beginning.
Just 6 to 8 months in, so still finding my feet.
Mm. And have you seen a lot of changes already in online storytelling in that time?
To be honest, the timeline that I'm working with starts in the 90s.
Okay.
So between the 90s and now, definitely there have been a lot of shifts, especially in terms of, you know, iPads. Gaming has also improved as well.
Mm-hmm.
Different platforms being improved and worked on. So... yes, there has been a shift, not in the storytelling, more in the media, mm-hmm. I'd say.
And has the quality of the content changed because you have different mediums to feed
people? I wouldn't say the quality has changed.
Okay.
I'd say the mode of storytelling has changed a little bit because, of course, you have gestures being inputted. The reader can actually touch the story, which is a very interesting concept. They can mold it and they can participate in the story.
And so do these online stories, do they take into account which method you're digesting the story in, whether it's a phone or a tablet or a machine? And that's
most
it. So
do.
They think of
yes.
all of because it changes, you know, if you're on the,
yes.
not in Malta, but if you're on the train on the way home,
uh-huh.
you know, you're
yes.
going to be,
you'd be on an iPad.
Secret
yes.
doing it. Da, da, da. If
yes.
you're on the sofa, you're doing it another way. And if you're doing it while your boss isn't watching, you've got
yeah.
your machine with your
difficult.
Headphones. And, you know,
it's very obvious.
And now you can, you know, I'm not going to give away my treat. My secrets there. So, but real books, proper paper books, you like those as well?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I take those to bed with me.
Ah, okay. So no screens. You're one of those no screens before
no
bed.
Screens before bed, exactly.
Fantastic. You heard it here. So what's the bed you're... The book... What's the book you're currently taking to bed with you?
It's a different one to the ones I was bringing today.
Mm-hmm.
It's Italo Calvino.
Oh.
On a Winter's Night of Traveller, you know,
okay.
the classic.
Uh-huh.
I'm wading through it really slowly.
In Italian, though?
No, in English.
In the English.
I don't speak Italian.
Okay. No, because when I was learning Italian over the last year or so, and they were recommending his books, and
I
bought a couple, but they're in Italian. I'm still just not good enough.
Good luck.
But in English, it's still quite heavy.
They're obscure in English as well, so.
Okay.
And my Italian isn't strong at all, so. English,
okay, so maybe I'll leave it for another couple of years. So you've got here, though, My Family and Animals.
Gerald Durrell.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fantastic book. I was introduced to this in Form 3, actually, when
okay.
I was around 13.
So you've read and reread.
I have. It's very used, as you can tell. It's a scream, this book. The
mm-hmm.
characters are awesome. There's such... And actually, it's autobiographical or semi-autobiographical, so Darrell is talking about his own family, and he's insinuating that his family are animals. And the characters are larger than life. They really are. The mother is harassed. The big brother is a wannabe author. The younger brother is very trigger-happy,
mm-hmm.
and he shoots anything that moves.
Mm-hmm.
Margot is a vain teenager, very vain female teenager. And Jerry is just... natural. He likes the natural world.
Yes. And this, because I remember seeing this on TV when I was
yes.
young. But you yes. think there's a new version
there's
of this
There's a
out?
New series.
Okay.
I can't for my life tell you who the actors are, but
mm-hmm.
it's a 2016 series, I think.
Okay.
They don't really they don't transplant the book as is. However, they do a very good interpretation of the characters, and they kind of sew together a new storyline whilst bringing in the old storyline.
They probably, I was going to say, probably needed yes. it, because it was such a classic that
yes.
kind of is part of everyone's makeup, I think, uh-huh. especially if you grew up in the UK anyway.
I think so, yes.
Real uh-huh. part of your fabric. Did you get educated in the UK, or were you
no,
educated in Malta?
I was educated here, okay. But our teacher was... She was a dramatist herself, so uh-huh. she was very fond of this book. She loved acting out and doing the voices. Oh. That was awesome.
I think that's the scary piece about doing books online or anything like that, or with even audiobooks. If the voice isn't right, or the
yes.
face isn't right,
it throws
or,
you off.
You know, if they're not who they're true. Supposed to be, it's like, uh-huh. no, you're supposed to look like this. And
the same with the Harry Potter movies.
Yeah, exactly.
That happened to me with Harry
exactly.
Potter. I was so disappointed yeah. in the first movie.
Yeah, because you're not him. You're too squeaky.
Yes.
And then now he is Harry Potter and he can't be
yes.
anybody else, the poor thing.
Yeah.
But yes, that was a uh-huh, big one as well.
It was a shock
well.
For me when yeah. I was 11.
Yeah. God, now you're showing my age. what's your next book down there? You've got...
My next book is completely different to the Gerald Durrell, mm-hmm. because Gerald Durrell is very comic.
Mm-hmm.
This one's a very serious book. It's called We Need to Talk About Kevin by a female author called Lionel Shriver. And it's a 1990s book, and it's still very relevant today because it speaks about school shootings in the US.
Mm-hmm.
And
sadly.
It's a very sad book, and it really resonates. It hits a nerve, and it never goes away. This
okay.
book, it has stayed with me for forever since I read it.
Mm.
And basically, it's told from the point of view of the mother, and she is exploring through the book whether her son was born evil, mm-hmm. or whether it was something that she did in her parenting that messed him up. And the book also has quite a killer ending, literally.
No. Okay.
Yes. And it came as such a shock, you do not see it coming, honestly.
Okay.
I was in floods of tears with this one, but it really stays with you. It's an exploration of evil.
So we need to talk about Kevin.
Yes.
And I believe this was made into a movie.
It was.
Yeah, Tilda Swilton. Yeah, no, Tilda Swilton. I remember, not the film at all, but I just remember some sort of trailer or something. Mm. Yeah, because she's very haunting
uh-huh.
in her own right, actually.
And it suits the character of the book.
So they got this one right.
She is a very haunting character. And the narrative, the way Shriver plots her narratives, she's so incisive. And she gives so many clues and hints into the way a person thinks. It's incredible. She's... fantastic.
Does it also take into account, though, because you said whether it was her parenting skills or that he was born evil, the other influences that there are with your peers, your schoolmates?
Not
and all
really.
That, no?
Not really, because the character of Kevin has always been very enigmatic. So mm-hmm. he never had friends. He was never a charming kind of psychopath. And it takes into consideration is the family
okay.
setting. So it's herself, her husband. And the younger sister plays quite a big part in the novel, but she's more a victim than a cause of Kevin's
okay.
madness. So
yeah.
It's a thriller. It really is. Honestly.
And you haven't seen the film either, so you
I
don't know which is.
And I don't think I will because
okay.
I don't want anything to spoil this book for me. It's
okay.
sacred.
Okay. No, I might have a look at that then.
It really stays with you.
Yeah.
Mm. And the blurbs are actually quite accurate. They aren't usually, but.
Yeah, no, sometimes I'm a cover girl. I like to see what the cover is like, mm-hmm. and sometimes I just like the imagery.
And the
imagery
blurbs at the back. There was one, and it's true. It says it's Desperate Housewives written by Euripides.
Mm.
It really is. It's a Greek tragedy. In Desperate Housewives style.
Fantastic.
It's wonderful. I love it.
Now, your next book on your pile is...
is massive.
It's a bit of a brick. Yes.
It is. So this
yes.
one isn't for
that's
the beach bikes.
That's a Pilates high, yes.
It's not for the beach bikes.
No, probably not for the beach.
It's,
that's probably for a very long haul flight and beyond.
Yes,
yes.
To Mexico. Basically, this book is, again, different to all the others. It's magical. It's about magic.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it tells the story of Mr. Norrell, who is an aging wizard, the Dumbledore-esque type.
Okay.
But actually, I think this book was written before J.K. Rowling made her success, so I think this was the precursor. And it has... You won't remember the storyline of this book. It's not about the story. It's more about mm-hmm. episodes. And a couple of the episodes are very... They stick with you as well. They're,
okay.
they're images in your head. So the book opens with York Cathedral and with this magician walking into York Cathedral and conjuring the gargoyles down from the
ooh,
cathedral's
okay.
stonework. And it's scenes like that. They really stick with you. It's awesome. And later on in the book, somewhere throughout, about halfway, I think, he manages to raise a girl from the dead and that kind of precipitates his fall. Very interesting.
Because that's one step too far.
Yes.
One step too far. But it's quite a chunk of a book.
It's good. Yeah? It's worth pushing through. And it's, since it's so episodic, you can put it down, read something else, come back to it.
So it doesn't get interrupted in that sense. You're talking about the gargoyles. I was in Valletta this week and I noticed for the first time ever that one of the gargoyles on the corner of Archbishop Street
has her hands out.
Yes. Is that I
noticed
new?
No, but I noticed that recently as well.
Because I can't believe I've never seen that before.
Likewise. I happened to be looking up. I thought, how have I not seen that? But it's
maybe
true.
Maybe this Susanna Clarke has, you know, put her character in
could
there.
Could be, but I've read this a while ago.
Something's happened.
But it's the original Harry Potter for me, so I enjoyed that. But it's true that Gargoyle did come out of nowhere.
Yes. On the but suddenly it has arms.
There.
Yeah,
it's been there.
We'll have somebody will ring and tell us. Tell me about some other books that you've read, whether they're online or audio or
okay.
whatever.
So with the online world, because of my dissertation, it does take me there. And one of the books that I have, it's not really a book. You couldn't call it a book. It's kind of like a game / interactive piece.
Okay, how does that work?
This one works in the way of like a hypertext, so like it's Wikipedia style.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with links, and the links come either as words or symbols, and they're hyperlinked, so basically the words are pink or teal, the ones that you need to click on.
It tells you what to do, it tells you how to do this.
Yes, because it has an instruction manual, basically. And each part of the narrative takes you to a courtyard, and the courtyard isn't an image on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
The courtyard is built on words, and each word is a different room. And you can go into different rooms and do different things.
Okay.
But the premise is that your character is a workwoman. She's a craftswoman for an evil queen. And the evil queen is monstrous. She's a snake shape. And basically her job is to create, sometimes it's weapons, sometimes it's jewelry for this evil queen.
Okay.
And eventually you start to realize that every time you make something, you're one step closer to acquiring your freedom.
I see.
It's a very interesting premise. And what's more interesting about it is that while you're creating in this online world, you're also being asked to draw things on yourself, kind of you're tattooing yourself, to remind you of the steps that you took throughout the game, where you've been, kind of. So you draw a symbol for every room or everything that you've created.
And you literally have to
draw yourself.
Okay.
And it's amazing because you're creating while you're also creating within the game. It's kind of like you're co-writing it as well.
So
it's fun.
What's it called? What's this?
It's called With Those We Love Alive.
With Those We Love Alive, okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's written by, she's an online creation herself. She has her own avatar and her name is Porpentine.
Mm-hmm.
And she posts these things on her Tumblr account, so.
Mm. And so she just comes up with a new episode
yes.
and a new thing.
Uh-huh. And it develops.
Do you walk around and see people with the same symbols and stuff on your
no.
arms?
No. However, on her Tumblr, she encourages those who have played the game to post their art, the art that they've drawn on themselves. And it's really interesting to see the comparisons between what one person has drawn for one symbol and what the other person interprets that symbol as. It's fantastic. It's like comparing tattoos, honestly, online.
Are there like thousands of people that are reading this or have read this?
I wouldn't say thousands, but it's quite a popular one.
Ah.
A couple of hundred have read it, myself included.
Do you think that she would do things, because, you know, book sales are, I don't think they're dropping in all countries, but they're doing different things with these different mediums to be able to attract people to books and vice versa. Do you think something like this, having a sort of cult following and, you know, meet-up type things with your symbols.
It does kind of develop a cult, but as with all cult things, it'll never make the mainstream. But that's okay because it's part of its character.
It's oddness.
Exactly, it's oddness, and it is very oddball. Right.
No, I've just sort of opened the screen and there's literally a pink heart.
Yes.
And just out of, you know, you think there's something wrong with your phone, so...
So you investigate.
yes. Scrolling and scrolling, and then suddenly, you know, you're enticed to tap the heart, and you tap the heart, and then something happens.
And yes, and it takes you... It's very addictive in that sense, because it will keep you there. This took me a day and a half.
Uh-huh.
I did wash my arm for a day and a half to keep my sigils, because they're called sigils. But you have to stay with it.
Mm.
And it keeps you there, and it's like a game.
Yes.
It is like a game. It's a game you play with yourself, and you create while you're playing it, so...
I know some people who would really love this. So remind us of the title again.
With Those We Love Alive.
Okay.
And it's by Porpentine.
Porpentine, okay.
And it's a very interesting medium. You don't need to be tech savvy to read through it. So if you have a click capability, you're fine.
You can do that much. Are there any other books, I want to call them books, like this that you would recommend we have a look at? Because iPads at the beach are a bit more difficult, but at least getting to the beach on a plane.
Yes, that's true.
You know, or sitting in traffic.
You would have time.
We'd have time to play, read another one.
Yes, let me have a think of something that you can play on iPad. There's a game called Pry, and it's it's actually an app. It's on the Apple Store, but unfortunately you need to have an Apple product. And basically it's about a character who is an ex-soldier. He was in the, I think it's either the Iraq War or the Afghanistan War. I'm not sure which one. But he comes back. He's a veteran. And you realize that he's losing his sight because of some injury that's been caused there. But it's fun because to read the story and to find out what happens to him and, more importantly, what happens to his lover, you have to literally, with your fingers, prize open the eye on the screen.
Okay.
So it's kind of a metaphor for his blindness, but at the same time, you're blind because you need to open this eye to see the story. And it's also intermixed with text and video and voice, so it's very interactive in that sense. Earphones required. And it does take you a while to unfold the text and find the story.
Okay.
But once again, it's an adventure. And it comes in about 6 episodes.
And how long is each episode? Is it a bus journey? Is it a
cup of
coffee?
It's as long as you want it to
be. Oh, I see. Okay.
Because part of the fun of it is that the text is, have you ever made paper fans when you were a child?
Yes, yeah.
The text is programmed like that, so you have to kind of open out the text to finally read the entire story for the episode. But it takes multiple tries for that to happen. Sometimes it won't work and sometimes it opens.
Because of it or because of the story?
Because of the programming.
Ah,
it's very chance-based.
Ah.
You have to try your luck, basically, every day.
Okay.
So it's as long as you want it to be, honestly. When you give up, you give up. If you don't want to give up and you're relentless with it, you will get to the end.
It's a screen smasher, by the sounds of it. But what you were saying there about a fan story, because I'd love to write the Facebook book, it's called in my head.
Okay.
And what you do is you'd have a group, and I would write the first sentence. So I'm still thinking of the killer first sentence.
Okay.
And then I share it with a friend.
Oh, fun.
Who then has to write the next sentence.
That's
and they share it. And you go on and you go on and you go on. And whether people go back to the very beginning and read it from scratch, or they just see the previous person's comment, you can sort
of
see where the Facebook book goes.
Yes, and that's a really good idea, because it's been done a lot. It's a TEFL game. It's an established TEFL game.
Okay.
So we play this in class, and it's hilarious. Sometimes there's such a lack of linkage that it's funny to read.
It's even funny,
and it's funny to read backwards as well, as opposed to front ways.
Yeah.
But doing it on Facebook makes it faster and snappier. So it's a really fun, and you can include emoticons and all that.
And wouldn't it be the fastest written book in the world? Because you only have to write one sentence.
Probably. Yes.
And it just goes round, and you'd have this international authorship. Your credits actually would probably be longer.
People can write up to 120 characters these days, not necessarily beyond it, but we're good with short, snappy.
I think there's something in it, and maybe I should
go ahead now.
Just get it done. The Facebook book. Maybe.
Would you tag everyone in it just to answer back?
I think so. I think what you'd have to do is pass it on to the next person. The next person then passes it on, and you can almost see how far it goes, even if you've got a sentence from every country in the world, or
it wouldn't
make a very long book. Just to see how far and how wide you're all connected and how you interpret the previous line. You'd have to think of some rules to how that would work.
And you need to find a way of collecting all of that as well.
Yeah, well, you'd have it just be one group that sort of stays there, and nobody can, no other comments, only the person that's written. But yeah, you can see where this is going. It's going somewhere.
Super interesting.
Yeah, so you can add it to your thesis at the end. 3 years' time, I might get around to doing it.
Yes, fantastic. You have 3 years.
So what other directions are books going in that you're finding through your studies?
That's a very interesting question. So a lot of people are talking about how paper books are dying, no one's reading them anymore. And that's not necessarily true. In recent years, there was a swing towards iPads and e-readers and Kindles and all that. But the swing seems to be happening in the reverse direction again. We're going back to paper, probably because paper is so automatic, it's so tactile.
There's
something
better
with a book
about it. I can see the beauty of carrying a Kindle or an iPad or whatever, because you've got many books at once. But then reading on a beach or something with one of those in front of me.
Yes.
It just feels like I'm working.
It feels wrong. Yes, it does. It does. And that's probably one of the reasons, the lack of separation from our gadgets and our work. And also the smell of a book. I love the plasticated pages, especially because I love sniffing them. So you lose the tactility as well. But in other ways of reading, I mean, screen reading is so diverse. There are so many ways of doing it. You have the screen full. You can read in reverse. You can read in the ways that I was talking about through hyperlinks and the adventure kind of story. You can read with your gestures. You can play with text. You can move text around, rewrite the story.
Oh, okay.
I mean, there are many different ways of reading these days.
And is this generally targeted at adults, or is this something that's in the tweeny set or children's books, or it's...
I'd say more adults, because the content is generally either very lyrical or else, I mean, even the themes, a lot of the themes, like the World War, the war one, Porpentine has a lesbian scene as well in it, so they're very adult
grown
themes.
Up, sort of. Because you imagine with all of the technology available to you, some of the things you could get into, in a sense. And where do you think that's all going? In terms of commercial ability, do you think they'll start trying to sell you things as you go through books? And
I hope not. I really hope not. Because
you see the dark side of that.
Yes, but I don't think it's possible on these things because the programming is very closed. It's not like Facebook or like social media where it's also partly marketing platform and partly text
social.
Social. So these are designed for reading and enjoying. And playing with.
I just wonder if they, you know, if there's a character and she's wearing a particularly nice dress, you might think, actually, I want that dress. Or if there's...
I don't think I've ever seen something like that.
Yeah, no, just in my head, you know, if I was reading, like when you see a film, you think, ooh.
Yes.
Do a scribble of that. I want one of those.
Product placement here.
But you're actually susceptible to it. If you don't know it exists, you don't know it exists type of thing.
That's true.
But just wondering in these scenarios, because you have the track, you know, it's there, they can easily...
I really hope not. I don't want to be distracted from my text.
No. But do you feel, I was just thinking about reading it in the same way, it takes more concentration to do this online, what do they call it? What is this genre called?
It's called electronic literature, but that's really a very unhelpful term for it, because there are so many different kinds. There are different subgenres, like you have horror and detective fiction, etc. In normal literature, you also have locative narrative, so something like the Pokemon Go phase, but with more narrative.
What happened to that?
Something similar to that. It died. Ah. It died. Ah. These phases, they do go phases.
Uh-huh.
But something like that, where you're kind of moving around with your phone and it's like a treasure hunt, can be done with narratives as well. You can have a narrative, for example, set in Valletta, which would be lovely. I wish someone would do that. Please take hints from this. Please do it.
To take you around different sites with a different part of the story.
Yes, and you create a new story. For example, if you're in St. John's Cathedral, you get, I don't know, a medieval romance or something like that. It would be amazing. Something like that could be written in Maltese.
In Maltese, yes. Or in English to get a wide audience.
Yes, that's true.
You know, there's some amazing Maltese books, apparently. But,
that's
you know,
a
if they're in
yes.
Maltese, you really miss and... there's Leanne Elul who'd written a book about bulimia and anorexia.
Oh, wow.
And I'd interviewed her, so I knew about the story. And you think that would be such a powerful story if it were also in English.
Yes, because but then it would probably lose in translation.
You might lose some, but I just think, you know, there are some stories that are outside of Malta. If it's about Malta specifically, then...
That's true.
So I'm not being an Anglophile or anything like that. I just
it's for
a wider
readership.
Audience.
Yes,
I agree.
But it would be lovely to see some of this work done in our language as well as in English.
Maltese, so you can choose.
And there's Portuguese works of this kind as well. So why not have them in Maltese as well?
There you go. And what else? What other hard proper paper books are you have scarred you or
scarred
stayed
me.
With you? Or are you looking forward to reading next? So
I have a book by Zadie Smith. It's the title escapes me, but it's a yellow cover, so it's very eye-catching. It's about two dancers.
Yes.
One of them is a black dancer, and the other one's a white dancer, and together they're trying to make their fortune. I believe it's in the swinging 30s in the US. And I really want to read that because I also have a dance background. So it would be lovely to get back in touch with that through my book. So that's definitely on my to-read list. And another one on my to-read list is Henry James. I should have read this ages ago, for shame. It's called The Turn of the Screw. I'm sure you've heard of it.
Yes.
Massive horror story.
Uh-huh.
And the way he writes is mind-blowing.
I'm too delicate.
I like
nice stories.
Nice stories.
I dream very vividly.
Okay.
And when I read before I go to bed, and whatever I've read, plus bizarre random things that happen in my life, I wish I could record them.
Yes, I have done that. I keep my phone next to me just in case I have an interesting dream.
So if I read anything a little bit scary,
okay,
that's it. I'm done.
You're done.
I'm not sleeping that night.
Oh, that's such a shame.
I know. I think I'd be more grown up by now, but I'm just. I can't. I don't realise I can just close the book and it will close.
Yes.
Because actually, I live with the people.
It'll come there. Okay. Yes, that makes sense.
Yeah. So that one you're going to get onto next. Maybe this summer? Maybe.
Yes. Hopefully this
summer.
Not
very light reading, though.
No, the Zadie Smith should be light reading, but. No, Calvino's definitely not light reading, and neither the Henry James, definitely not. And there is another one I want to read, and that's quite easygoing, I believe. Obviously, the Cursed Child script, which is waiting, languishing on my shelf, so that's for when I really want some light beach reading.
Uh-huh.
And then, it's gone right off of my head. I can't remember.
Oh, that happens all the time. I just remember the cover or something about it, and don't remember the book.
The Ian McEwan series. Anything by Ian McEwan I will read, and I will
devour.
I love his books.
So have you not got one of these electronic literature books in you? Is that something you're tempted to do?
I might be tempted in the future, but the unfortunate side is that I don't have a programming background. So I would need to get someone on site.
No, you can find those.
Yes.
You can find those. You need to know what you want and how it has to work and draw it. You know, each page is a piece of paper. You do that and let
someone will do the rest. I really hope so. I really hope that I could find someone patient enough.
Well, I'm sure you could read a book about programming and learn how to do it.
It has been suggested to me more than once.
Life's too short.
It's clearly not my forte. So.
No, just map it out, and then you can move
can
and add and change.
Side.
And absolutely.
I'd love to do that. And the Facebook book.
The Facebook book.
I can't wait to see that.
We'll talk about
honestly.
That more another time. It's been really fun talking to you. That's
fantastic. Same to you.
Clara Ketkuti and me, Monique Chambers, on this week's Beach Books and Beyond. Thank you for joining me, Monique Chambers, on this week's Beach, Books and Beyond. I'd also like to thank Samuel Attard and Carmelo Greg for helping me to produce this programme. Join us again next week for Beach, Books and Beyond, here on Campus FM.